Ephesians 5, let's pray as we open our Bibles and we'll ask God's blessing, our time in the Word. Father and our God, as we look to you now, we just pray that your Spirit would arrest our attention to the Word, that there's a really big chapter, really important things happening. Father, I just pray that you know, you'd really meet us here in the Word and you tell us the things that we need to know in such a way that we get it for good and for God. Lord, glorify yourself in this time, in Jesus' name. Amen. Be ye therefore, what's the therefore, Well, it goes back to chapter 4, where you are not grieving the Holy Spirit of God, from verse 30. And I said before, last time we were together, it was 2 weeks ago, last week was, last week was a bad week, let's just put it that way. But 2 weeks ago, when we were together, the Holy Spirit grieving. I said, you know what grieves the Holy Spirit? Well, it depends who you ask. The thing, your pet peeve, the thing that is bothersome to you, oh, I don't think Christians should, fill in the blank. That's, and if you do that thing, that's grieving the Holy Spirit. And no matter how many people you ask, that's how many different answers you'll get. So I said, well, let's not do that. Let's listen to what the Bible says, and let's go by that. Let's go by what, and so I think that the whole, grieving the Holy Spirit of God is verse 31, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Not letting bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away. That's those, with all malice. Those are things that would grieve the Holy Spirit. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Is non-forgiveness something that grieves the Holy Spirit of God? Well, of course it is. Even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you. Now, with that in mind, there's no chapter break. There's no chapter division. We're on the same thought. We're still worried about not grieving the Holy Spirit of God. And I think this passage, from my own thinking, goes all the way to the next time the Spirit's mentioned, in verse 18. Anything that we're talking about now, this would grieve the Holy Spirit. Verse 18 says, be not drunk with wine and wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Now we're on a different topic. Okay, now in the interim, we're still talking about things that grieve the Holy Spirit. Now verse 1, be therefore followers of God as dear children. Mimic, ape, copy God. It's the sincerest form of flattery. You remember in, I think it's the end of chapter 6 of the Gospel of Matthew, but don't quote me on that. You can look it up. Jesus says, be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Pretty tall order. Okay, let me see. I got that in my repertoire, don't I? No, I don't. So why does he say something that's patently absurd that you can't do anyway? Because just because we can't do something, the standard never, God never waters down the standard. You know, so here he's saying the same thing. I want you to be followers of God. Do the things that God does. You say, well, what does that look like? Well, walk in love. You know, the earmark of Christianity, love. I want that to say solid, good doctrine. It doesn't say it, and I can't make it say it. I want to change that verse to make it sound like you got to be Bible people. You got to know the Word of God. That's what I want it to say. It will not change to suit me. The earmark of the my mom passed. You know, last week when I would have been here, she was. It's Sue's mom. I call her mom. So here's the thing. She was not a Bible woman. She could not quote book, chapter, and verse. She went to church for 35 years in a church, frankly, that doesn't emphasize the Word of God. And if that's a pejorative, well, so be it. But I think I could back that up. And the Word of God was never the most important thing in her life. God was. I think she was a follower of Jesus Christ. And her life was earmarked by love. When she passed, I felt that she'd taken the last breath in this world and gone on into the arms of the Savior. Now, I don't always think that way. I'm not the guy who always like puts a good spin on it. Oh, everybody's going to heaven. I'm kind of a universalist at heart. At heart, I kind of am, but at mind, I know better. I mean, I want everyone to get saved, but it's just certainly not that way. And so I don't spin it because to suit myself. You know what I mean? Well, somebody who I particularly was very fond of died. I know he wasn't a Christian, but, well, you know, we'll all get there. I've never said that. But I felt like, and I think that, because of the love that she had. Jesus says, this is how they'll know you my disciples. The love ye have one for another. So I think love is the big thing. I think it's the big ticket item. Now, if we're going to walk as dear children, if we're going to follow God as dear children, we're going to walk in love as Christ also hath loved us. And he hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. What's that all about? He's given himself for us, in the place of us, is what the idea of there. It's not for us in the idea he gave himself for us, which is true, but he's saying, no, he gave himself, it was in our stead, in our place. That's what the verse is telling us. And to God, God would look at the cross and go, you know, odors. You know, like some of my favorite ones, you get a piece of, like, dead cow on the grill. What a beautiful, the genius of God, building an animal entirely out of steaks. Is that genius or what? And then you cook them up and you're like, that is heavenly. God smelled the sacrifice that Jesus performed in our stead, on our behalf, in our place. God said, it was acceptable to him, is the idea. Okay, now, in contradistinction, this is an abrupt change, but fornication, all uncleanness of covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Now, he's talking about walking in love, and then he's talking about, but don't do fornication. Why? You know, because they're opposites one from another. I love you, baby. No, you don't. You love you. You know what I mean? You know, they say, because you know what fornication is? Fornication is self-love or pseudo-love. As opposed to real love. Pseudo-love. Well, we were just making love. No, you were just making a mess. Are you married to that woman? Well, no, but, then you weren't making love. You were making whatever you were making. You sure weren't making love. Now, fornication here. Every time the Bible talks, it gives you a list of sex sins in the New Testament. Fornication's always named there. Usually adultery, fornication, adultery. And they're always like right near the top of the list. Any list that's given. God says, listen, avoid fornication. Don't even let it once be named among you. Why? Because God knows that more than any other thing in your life, fornication will mess up your life. Fornication, sex, sin. And it means all sex sin. No adultery. No sex with people you're not married to. No booty calls. No friends with benefits. No hooking up. No shacking up. That leads to splitting up. No bestiality. No homosexuality, including lesbianism. No rape, including date rape. No voyeurism, no peeping Toms, no porn on the internet, don't use photos or magazines, no romance novels, which all I just think that's pornography without pictures. No sexual TV, Californication, that should kind of give you an idea that you might not want to tune into that show. 2.5 Men, Sex in the City, et al., and I say et al., it's a Latin term meaning and all, etc., because that could be a very, very, very lengthy list. You know, and you know that you shouldn't be watching it, okay? You know what kind of TV, triggers the baser thoughts, the ungodly thoughts. You know, as well as I know, and I say that could be a long, long list. No sexting. See, we have to change the rules as, technology advances. No orgies, no lust, no code word here, self-pleasuring. You understand, you're adult people. No 900 number phone calls, no flirting, no strip clubs, no cross-dressing. Bible specifically forbids that. No gentlemen's clubs. Now, isn't that a weird gentlemen's club? You think the guys are in there in like tuxedos, you know, discussing, arguing Tolstoy over Dostoevsky as far as great Russian novelists, gentlemen's club, right? They're just in there being gentlemen. Remarkable. Now that's not a total list. Okay. It was just, I came up with that in like about 3 minutes. Okay. Just as fast as I could write. I'm thinking like, now someone's going to say, well, what about, if you go to a club and they have like women, in, bathing suits, mud wrestling? You didn't say that. Well, you cannot make a list long enough to include everything, and are you seriously going to sit there and ask me about that? I mean, please. I mean, you know, at some point, don't be ridiculous. Let it not once be named among you as becometh sanctified ones, saints. We're set apart for a holy purpose, and none of those things fits the bill. Now, when I talk about sex sin, I want you to understand something. God's not a prude, and I'm not either. And the Bible does not say no sex. It just says no sex sin. So what sex is permissible? Sex between two married people. Well, what else? That's all. Notice on that list, I didn't put no holding hands. I don't know if that's sex sin or not. And I didn't put no kissing. Now, you say, well, I think you should add that to the list. Well, if you think I should add that to the list, don't do it. Yeah, you know what I mean? Cause here's the whole thing. I don't want to be ridiculous, but I want to abstain. Nothing that even approaches that. Okay? Nothing that even comes close to that. I don't want to approach any of those things. I want to take a wide berth around them. I don't want to be ridiculous. You know, I say no kissing. So, well, I saw my aunt the other day. I kissed her. Is that okay? I give her a little peck on the cheek. Obviously, we're not talking about that. And then, of course, well, okay, we're dating, okay? We're not married yet, but I'm just, you know, but, you know, just, how about just, a, you know, just a little skin touching, a little other skin, and it's saying, I'm fond of you, I like you lots. Is that okay? Well, let God be your judge. I know that a kiss is a very powerful thing, and I know that, boy, if I was not married, I don't know if I'd fool around with that stuff or not. It seems it can get away from you way too quick. You know what I mean? You know, it's a little peck saying, I'm very fond of you. And next, it's a wrestling match. You know what I mean? It's like, it's all, you know what I mean? You're adult people. You know what I mean? So I don't want to do anything that even remotely resembles that all the time. I just want to live a life of holiness. I want to walk in true love. I don't have any use in my life for the false love. But fornication and uncleanness, what does that mean? Uncleanness. That's what it means. Not being clean. It comes to the word catharize in the Greek. That's not the word. It's the word that we get the word catharize from. Catharize helps you drain all the poison. And it has the a prefix, means no catharization. You still got the poison in you is the idea. Or uncleanness. The English word works fine. Or covetousness. Because all these things, the basis for all these sexual things are covetousness. I wish I had what I don't have. That's the whole thing. We see that. Don't covet in the Old Testament. God said. And then he went on to explain, don't covet your neighbor's, you know, goods, his house, his wife, his, all his stuff. Don't covet. Okay. Because this is what it leads to. Let it not be even once named among you as becometh saints. Now, if you know as well as I know, if you've been paying attention, it's named more than once among us. Shame on us. Now, it's not a sin that God can't forgive. It's just something that, listen, let's say I have an affair, okay? Does that disqualify me from the ministry? Yes. Am I teaching invalid? That's not the issue. The issue is I can't deliver the teaching anymore. I'm accountable to someone who'll say, you are disqualified. And the Bible is on his side. The Bible says you're disqualified. I can't have that in my life. I mean, I want to teach the Bible. I want to let everyone know what the Bible is. I can't be having any of this stuff in my life. Well, God forgive me? Yeah, but that's not even the issue. The issue is, will my wife forgive me? And I kind of suspect I know the answer to that one. I don't even want to test the water there. It's just, I don't even want it to be named among us. Not even once. Not named among me, named among us, all of us, all the time. And the fact is it is. And that's a shame. I think pornography on the internet is a huge, huge problem. I think like men in a church, I wonder how many men that's a problem with. And I wonder if that's like why our growth in church is so stunted spiritually while we're not, really making really great inroads for the gospel. I wonder, you know? I'm concerned with that. So I go around and I check everyone's, filters, make sure, at some point you got to trust people to be men of God. But I know it's a problem. The fact of the matter is, I know it is. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. He compares, you got a mouth, right? Don't let drivel and stupidity and idiotic, what is it, jesting here, coarse jesting. Foolish talking nor jesting. Then it's not convenient. It's not conducive to spirituality. It's not a benefit. Now, is he talking about no clowning around? No, he's not. He's not. Sometimes the Bible's funny. And I think sometimes, especially, you know, some pastors just can't lighten up. You know, they gotta, you know, when somebody's handling a scripture that's funny and they're not seeing the humor, and I always think like, oh, yeah, loosen the bone, Wilma, you know, just kind of relax a little bit. This is funny, and I think it's meant to be funny. And I think God gives us a sense of humor, and it is a time to laugh, scripture tells us. And I think that's okay. This isn't talking about that. This foolish talking is bad speech, and jesting is the idea of innuendo and things of this nature. They're not convenient. They're not convenient to spirituality. They're not going to help you grow. But rather, you got a tongue, you got lips, right? Well, give thanks with it. For this we know that no whoremonger, now this would be a male prostitute, a prostitute who's a male who sells himself to other men. Okay? King James whoremonger. No whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Adam, I thought weren't you just the other day, last, like two Sundays ago, weren't you talking about eternal security? Yes, I was. Well, don't you believe in that? I don't think this verse says that doesn't happen. I think it's saying this, let no man deceive you with vain words. Because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Now, if I say, no, you're okay, you know, when you were eight, you went forward and you prayed the prayer, you went some 10 crusade, you walked the sawdust trail, when you were five, you were in a good news club, or your mommy helped you pray when you were four, I'm not saying any of that stuff didn't happen. And if you say, well, this happened, well, I was in good news club and when I was five and they showed me the color little thing and, you know, all the little, and I got the black and that was my sin and green growth in Christ and, you know, red, the blood, and I saw all that stuff and I got saved then but now I'm into like all this like, you know, pornography and sex sin and stuff like this. Listen, you gotta understand something. You're not saved. That's what this verse is telling me. Anyone who's doing these things, don't let anyone fool you. This one does not have an inheritance in the kingdom of God and of Christ. For this we know, no whoremonger nor unclean person nor covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Well, did you lose your salvation? I don't think it's saying that. My question would be, did you ever have it? Because if you tell me you can have an encounter with Jesus Christ and not be changed, it's not the Jesus I know. I'm not talking, listen, you really got to hear me too. You got to listen to this pastor's heart. I'm not talking about sinless perfection. I know there's a Satan, and I know he beats up on you routinely. I know that. The evil one. If you had an episode where you started looking at something and you looked a little too long and you started, and then you said, no, I can't do that. It's wrong. And you repented. You're a child of God who slipped up. You know what I mean? Could you have an episode or a bad spell? Yeah. You practice these things. You're in this all the time. You can't convince me you're a child of God. You don't have any inheritance in the kingdom of God. This is what the verse is saying. Well, Adam, don't you believe that once saved, always saved? Look, let no man deceive you with vain words. I'm not going to try to deceive you into the kingdom. Yeah, when you were six, you prayed, so now you're all set for life. Those are vain words, and I would be deceiving you with them. The scripture says that, listen, you practice these sins. You're not a child of God. You don't have any inheritance in the kingdom. See, boy, that's hard words. I know it. I like to be very gracious. I like to say gracious words. But look, I got to tell you the truth. I don't want to deceive you with vain words. Go ahead, sweetheart. Live any way you want. Check out porn. Watch horrible television. Think about have some unhealthy obsession your whole life, and it's fine. You know, at the end of it all, God's going to say, oh, sweetheart, I understand. Still let you into the kingdom. I'm telling you, it's not happening. Well, Adam, how do you know it's not happening? Like, for this you know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater, you worshiping a God who's not the God, of the Bible, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, and you want to go to his kingdom? Are you kidding me? None of these people have any inheritance in the kingdom of God and of Christ. And let no man deceive you with vain words. Because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. I hope I hit that one out of the park. I hope there's nobody here who's doubting how I feel about these things. Well, I just have nothing but depravity and wickedness and a sin-filled heart. You've got to come to Jesus, I think. That would cure it. I really believe it. So can Christians get involved in sin? I've seen that. Well, did they lose their salvation? Did they ever have salvation? See, here's the big question mark. I don't know. I know that, I came to Christ, and some of the sin in my life started leaving right away. Some it took a little longer, and some it took, frankly, a long time. But there was always instant change. And these things that I was doing, I always felt like I was wrestling with them, and I always felt like, you know, I knew they were wrong, and I was trying to overcome these things. Dead men don't wrestle, by the way, just in case you're wondering. Because before, when I did these things, no problem whatsoever, no conviction, just, you know, flat-out sin. And when the Holy Spirit of God came in my life and I did something wrong, he's like, Adam, was that quite right? You know, we need to talk about this, son. I'm like, oh, you know. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. Why? Because they're going to hell. How come we're partakers with them and just about everything we can be partakers with them in? We try to get as close to the world as we possibly can, and they're going to hell. We want our marriages to look like their marriages. We want our philosophy to look like their philosophy. You know, even among Christians, it's hard to say that homosexuality is wrong these days. Why? Because now I'm a homophobe, and now I'm an unkind person, and now I'm a hater and everything else. Wait a second. It's always been wrong, long before I showed up. Just because the America changed, it changed, by the way. When I was a kid, homosexuality was a bad, bad thing. You know what I mean? Now it's okay. And now I'm a bad guy, and I'm a troglodyte, and a knuckle-dragging cave dweller because I think the Bible says so. I don't hate homosexuals, and I don't think it's the only sin or the worst sin or anything. I think it's a sin. I think the Bible clearly says that. And I don't want to be like the world. I even see, like, you know, pastors, one guy, and I won't say his name, but you'd all know it if I said it, and they were saying, do you think homosexuality is wrong? Well, I just don't think it's the very best choice. Shut up! Is it a sin or not? Come on! What is that? You know, he had a chance to kick it out of the, right through the uprights, and he Charlie Browned it. Well, it's not the best choice. Cause why? Cause we're trying to have it both ways. We're trying to sit on a fence. We're trying to be partakers with the world, but they're going to hell. Why are we trying to be like them? I don't understand it. We want our music to be like them. We want our styles to be like them. We want all the things that we do to be like them. I just don't understand it. I mean, I really don't. They can't come to us for answers. We don't have them. We're trying to be like them. We're looking at them like they have the answers. I'm sorry if I'm preaching. Like, I just seen it for too long. We just try to cozy up as close to the world as you can possibly get. And sin. I don't want to sin, but how close can I get without stepping over the line? You ever thought about his sin? Try to get as far away. You're not going to get anywhere near the line. I just want to live a life of purity and holiness, and one that pleases God. By the way, that pleases me too. Not my flesh, but my spirit. And at the end of the day, you know, I'm not fearful, right? The righteous are as bold as a lion. That's right. Fearful, they're running away even when the sinners are running away even when nobody's chasing them, the Bible says. That's right. It's a fine way to live. My conscience. I sleep like a Calvinist every night. God loves me, and I'm totally short accounting of it. Lord, I'm sorry. That was right, wrong. You were right about that. Help me to overcome that in my life, and I move on with my life. Beat myself up? Nah, it's not much sense in that. A lot of wasted effort, you know what I mean? I'm not one for that. Satan, he'll beat me up. I don't need to help him. Sin, repent, forsake it, move on. What else we need to know? And that, by the way, that goes for everybody else. That when I see sin in their life and they sin against me, forgive. Move on. But ye were sometimes darkness. That means at one time. Once you used to be darkness, but now you're light. Welcome to my life. I said it all the time. God saved a sinner. He didn't save a saint. But now you're light in the Lord, walk as children of light. Listen, if you're in the light, and you are, you should walk that way. It should look like you know where you're going. Do you say that? You should say it with your personality, with your demeanor, with your deportment. Follow me, I know where I'm going, even if you don't say it. Well, I got the answer. Arrogant? No. Humble. I got the answer through the power of the Holy Spirit who loved me and brought me into the light and showed me things. No, not arrogant. But I do know the way. No apologies. Follow me. I know where I'm going. Is that your life? Because it should be. We should walk as children of the light with a firmness in our step. I don't mean a firmness in our step. I'm not talking about your walk. I'm talking about your walk. I'm talking about your Christian life. I'm not talking about the way you strut, okay? The way you get from one place to another. I'm talking about, you know, follow me as I follow Christ. We'll get there. I know where I'm going. Well, yeah, you're Pastor Adam. No. Long before I was Pastor Adam, I knew where I was going. I knew Jesus loved me. I knew how to walk as a Christian. I knew, and you do. You know what I mean? You don't have to wait till you get in front of a church with a microphone and start talking before you can say to people, follow me as I follow Christ. And you are leaders. You know what I mean? People are watching your lifestyle. You got a high to the skyline profile. You're leading somebody, especially if you're a man cub. I mean, you know, you're going to be the head of your house. You are the head of your house. You're that's just the way the thing works. But you don't have to be married. You don't have to be a man. You know, your leadership is exhibited in your family and among your children and the place that you work, among your friends, among your compatriots. I always want to show everybody this is what Christianity looks like in this situation. Whatever situation that I'm found in. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. Oh, yay. That's, I don't know, what needs to be said? Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. I just did, but I have not a special opportunity to. And I'm not individually going around the room reproving them. I'm just generally reproving them. I just got an opportunity to. So I'm clear now, right? No. I have to reprove them individually when I see them in people's lives, in my brother's lives. I have to pull them up short and say, listen, put your eyes back in your head and stop staring at that young woman, or whatever the situation is. I have to stand and say, no, that's wrong. That's sin. That's a bad thing. Oh, bad. I don't want to do that. I want to be like, people won't love you if you say that. They won't. Listen, they don't love you now. I don't know how to break it to you, but you ain't Mr. Popularity, Mrs. Popularity now. Just might as well say the truth. You know what I mean? And I'm not trying to change the world by telling everybody what they're doing wrong. But you'll have enough opportunities, and God will give you enough opportunities. And you have to be a little bit discerning. You can't, every time somebody's doing anything, you come around and tell them why it's wrong and why they shouldn't be doing that, you're going to wear out your welcome in a hurry. I think you choose your battles. But I don't think you let people go on and, like, you know, with the idea that just go on and on. I had a situation today when somebody was talking. I had a safety meeting, and somebody was talking about Isaac Newton, and he was a Christian, and but he proved, like, a lot of the Bible was wrong and this and that. And he was saying something he saw in biography, and I'm, that wasn't his point, but it was something like one of these throwaway verses, and he went on to make his point about, because we were talking about that Harold Camping fellow, when the world would end. And he said Isaac Newton knew when the world would end. He knew it mathematically, and I kind of wanted to hear him make his point. So he kind of said, and then I was like, the Bible's not wrong, and certainly Isaac Newton, by the way, who wrote like a lot, like over a million words of commentary. He's a Bible commentator. He's like a Christian guy, loved Jesus. But I don't ever remember hearing anything about his prediction about the end of the world. So I kind of wanted to hear. So I didn't. So sometimes you don't know. So you let a little go by. Sometimes you say, no, wait a second here. And I'm hoping I'll have an opportunity to continue that conversation with him. Not in front of everybody, because that's, you know, your chest puffed up and, it generates more heat than light a lot of times. But I want to have that opportunity to say, dude, no, that ain't how it works. and I want to be kind about it. I don't want to be an obnoxious snot, because you can be that way, you know, reproving everybody all the time about everything. And no matter what I do, man, the guy's on my case all the time. Well, I don't think you want to do that, but I do think you want to reprove. Give people a chance to know and do what's right. Somebody's got to tell them. And don't worry about your popularity, really. Let God worry about that. I'm just telling you, it's just, I got friends. I've alienated some, and some people still love me despite myself. It just, I just wouldn't get all nerved up about. You should reprove them. That's what the Bible's telling us. It's a shame even to speak of those things which you've done of them in secret. So he doesn't say it. He says fornication. I give you the long list. But I won't tell you, it's a shame. And here's another thing, too. Have you had somebody tell you their testimony? Stand in front of church and talk about really shameful activities that we don't really need to go there right now. It's a shame. I don't want to brag about how sinful I was. I was broken. I was so bad, and Jesus saved me. Hallelujah. I don't want to emphasize my bad. I want to emphasize his good, his loving kindness and his mercy and his salvation that extends even to a sinner like me. It's not like, because I know some people like take that and they want to brag about how bad they were. And like, you know, and they'll say some things that are just, that it's a shame to talk about those things. Let's not deal with them right now. You know what I mean? I don't need to know the particulars. I mean, because listen, face it, your story and my story are the same. We were knuckleheads. God came into life, got saved, and changed our forever family, and brought us onto his team. Now there's particulars that are a little bit different. Those are interesting particulars. I'd love to listen to yours sometimes. Great. But I mean, we basically have the same story. Now, if you were involved in this sin rather than this sin, or this, those things are shameful. Let's not brag about them. You know what I mean? Sin is shameful. That's why we sing, you know, he washed all my, what, like sin and shame in a lot of these songs. Why don't you take all the sin away? He took all the shame associated with it. Thank God. I couldn't bear up under it. It's shameful. And your sin, it's not cute. You know, I know a guy, okay? I'm going to be very generic about this. I know a guy, okay? Two kids, two different women. His girlfriend now, the third one, is with child. And he's moved on to another one. I don't know if he's sleeping with her or not. Apparently, at some point, he either will or he'll ditch her. So, three women, three different children. You know what that is? That's a crying shame. That's a shame. You know, because I think about three little kids who deserve a full-time dad. That's a shame. Now, I could be that guy, right? And I'd say, well, you know, before I met Christ, I used to have all these women and I have all these kids all over. That's a shame. Don't brag about that. Don't be bringing that around here. I'm giving you an example. It's a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. And why do we do it in secret? Because it's shameful. Why do you think bars have no lights in them practically, you know? You know, walking around tripping all the time. Why are nightclubs all in the dark, you know? Why are these? Because we don't want nobody to see us. It was like outside at noontime, it was lit up like that, we wouldn't go there. But all things that are approved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Listen, we know something about God, right? There was darkness, he spoke light into it. Light be. What did he use? He used his word. You see a dark situation, reprove, speak light. What will you use? You'll use God's word. That's what he used. Okay? And light will come. All things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. And sometimes your ministry will look like reproof. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. We want to just hint and get around the edges and try to lead the person to saying, yeah, that was probably not the best thing in the world or something like that. No, just say, hey, that was sin. That was really bad. You can still love them. I think they'll have an idea that you do if you're really not a Pharisee and you're not being judgmental. I think they'll get a sense of that. I really do. Wherefore he saith, awake thou sleepest, wake thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeem the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And what's the will of the Lord? That's verse 18. Let's go back and look at this briefly, though. Awake, thou that sleepest. Why are you acting like you're still asleep? You're not children of the night, you're children of the day. We're not supposed to walk like we're children of the night. Awake, wake up. And awake here doesn't mean wake up. Like, if you're sleeping, that's a bad thing. Even if you're sleeping here right now, that's not a bad thing. You know, no. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. People fall asleep when I'm teaching. I'm not upset by that. I'd rather have you sleep here than be awake anywhere else. I'm okay with that. I've been in a church before. It's hard. You know, especially if we're working, we're all active. Now we gear down, we're sitting down. We just had a big dinner, maybe. And then, of course, you know, your eyes get a little heavy. It's all, all the blood's down here digesting, you know, and you can just kind of, no, that's fine. But we're not talking about that. We're not talking about that. When he's talking about sleeping, well, I'll show you what he's talking about. 1 Thessalonians, open almost right to it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Verse 4 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. But ye, brethren, are not in darkness that the day should overtake you as a thief. For ye are children of the light and the children of the day. Ye are not of the night nor of darkness. Any questions? Listen, this is basic stuff. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. Do you think he's talking about sleep? REM sleep. Snoring sleep. No. Because otherwise he wouldn't say, don't sleep. I mean, imagine that. Because the Bible says that he giveth his beloved sleep. It says that, and I think it's Psalms or someplace in the Old Testament, right? So, and now I lay me down to sleep. I mean, sleep is okay. You need it, okay? You're gonna have to have some at some point. That's not what he's talking about. Here he's talking about, it's a metaphor for being awake, being alert, being spiritually engaged, not asleep, right? Therefore, let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For they that sleep, sleep in the night. We already said, you're not children of the night, right? And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for a helmet the hope of salvation. Goes on to say, for God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ. Now the wrath people, they're the night people. And look at verse 10, obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. So here's the idea. When he's back in Ephesians chapter 5, when he's talking awake from your sleep, he's talking to us, he's proposing a spiritual metaphor. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give you light. Arise from the dead, yeah. Didn't you know resurrection when you get born again? I mean, what he did in the tomb is a picture of what you did spiritually. Remember, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. How did that happen? Resurrection. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. If I died, and I'm still here talking to you, resurrection must have happened, right? There we go. Arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. Redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Hey, listen, what's redeeming the time? Don't waste it. Use every opportunity. 3.5 hours the average American spends watching TV a day. 3.5, what? That is mind-boggling. Really hard to catch a half-hour sitcom in my life. I had a breakfast with a pastor friend last week, and we were talking about the job, and he said, how do you do it? You got two full-time jobs. I said, because there's no downtime. I don't have time to goof around. I don't. Listen, Sunday's coming. I have two messages on Sunday. And I gotta have my stuff in, I have to have my ducks in a row. I have to spend time in the Word. I have to spend time with the Lord. I multitask, okay, cause I'm driving and I'm praying. You know, I'm mowing the lawn and I'm listening to a podcast. You know, headphones. I mean, you got your earbuds plus you got them like Mickey Mouse sound protectors. You're all set. You'll go deaf from listening to that, but you won't hear that. It's good. It's fine. And if she wants me to come to stuff, she's got to tap me on the shoulder. Because I ain't, unless I just happen to see her, you know, I mean, she gets in the way or something. I don't run her over that deep. But you know what I mean? Like, I'm always multitasking. Why? Because time's wasting. Listen, I ain't got time for 3.5. Are you kidding me? What is on that's good that you can, I can't even imagine that. Now, I'm not going to get on my high horse. Listen, you better stop watching TV. I'm just not. I got stuff to do. You know, you got to take care of your house. If you own one, it'll start falling down around you. You've got to do maintenance. You've got to mow the lawn. You've got to fix things. You got to repair them as they come up. You have a spiritual life. You have, I don't see why. I see a lot of people wasting a lot of time. It's frankly what I see. My wife, she's a dynamo. She gets up in the morning. She starts working and she doesn't stop until it's lights out. She just doesn't. And sometimes I help her somewhat a little bit. Sometimes. No, I'm just being honest. Housework's not my favorite thing, and she's my favorite thing. So sometimes I want to help her, like, you know, make it her, like, life a little easier. Like, I turned the dishwasher on before I left. I know. You're saying, wow, you are just kidding me. Well, she asked me to. Yeah. Well, she left me supper, right? And she said, she got to clean out her mom's apartment. She has a few days. She got to get all that stuff out, because she don't want to pay a rent on an apartment it's not going to be lived in. So, she's been doing that all week, every night, because she has a job besides. So she had some dinner for me, and then she said, throw that in the dishwasher and turn the dishwasher on. So I did that. You know what I mean? So I help out and stuff. And I've emptied the dishwasher before and stuff. You know, I have done that. You know, the whole thing about the dishwasher is this, and I got to just be honest with you, can I just come clean here? She cooks, and she does a really good job, obviously. Okay? No problem there. You believe me. And she gives me this feast all the time, and I'm like, thank, that was wonderful, honey. I think I'll go in the other room, and I'd be listening to a sermon or studying or reading the Bible or be on eSword or something like this. Or really, you say, oh, why aren't you super spiritual? No, the time's going. I know I have to. You know what I mean? I'm not trying to brag or anything. I don't like to be like that. So I'll be doing that and stuff like this. And she's overdoing the dishes. And I'm like, oh, man. And, you know, my conscience eating me up. And I know the Holy Spirit of God has almost verbally, almost said in times like that, listen, I appreciate you want to spend time in a word, but listen, if you want to be with me, I'm going to be helping your wife do the dishes. So you might want to know that. You know what I mean? So I like, okay, I'll dry, you know, so make her life a little easier. So, and it got so bad after a while that I had to go out and buy a dishwasher. I'm not joking. And times like where she would say, like, hey, you want to go for a walk? Oh, I got to study this. And I'm like, oh, man, you probably should go without me, hon. And then in times like that, the Holy Spirit of God would say, well, listen, you can study if you want. I appreciate that, but I'm going for a walk with Sue. So I'm like, oh, wait a second, honey, I'm coming. Because you're conscious if you're listening, Spirit of God, he'll bag you and he'll tell you what to do and stuff. And he'll give you he'll help you to redeem the time. He'll help you. Oh, I can't do that. I can't go for a walk. I ain't got the time. I got to spend time doing this. He says, don't worry about that. Do what I tell you to do. It'll all come out good. I found that to be, you know, if that's a word for somebody, but don't waste time. Don't, and every time you have an opportunity, people come and they say, how do I get saved? Oh, I don't know. Let me call my pastor or, no. If people are talking and it's obvious and you know and the Spirit's leading you, and just go for it. Redeem the time. Use up your opportunities. Just, you won't be in heaven thinking, I said too much about Jesus. You'll be in heaven thinking, oh, look at all the opportunities I missed. I'm sure. In my own mind, I'm sure of that. You'll never regret what you said. You'll regret the times that you didn't. Buy up every opportunity. Redeem the time. It's ticking away. I've always been aware of this, too. I'm not like other people in this. People are like surprised by the passing of time. You know what I mean? I've said this before. I know I have. If, like, I saw somebody 10 years ago, and they had a little baby. When I see him again, I expect it to have a baby. I expect he'll be a 10-year-old, he or she. And I think, like, and so I don't just, oh, I can't believe it, you're this old, oh, where's the time? I don't never say that, because I'm always aware of the time going. With that in mind, my relationships look like, hey, this time's going, time's wasting. And my whole thing is about, like, I want to, you know, we should be doing this. Not next year or the year after, or wait till January 1st. When I'm thinking about we should be doing this, let's start moving on this. Let's get this going. Come on, let's move. And I'm like that about a lot of things. I'm not, and I live in the land of manana. And us, yeah, everyone's like really laid back. Ah, keep your shirt on. We'll get it tomorrow, the next day, or never. You know, and I'm just like, ugh, drives me crazy. I don't want to bring the rat race up with me, but I want to have a sense of urgency about us. You know what I mean? I'm from Boston. Everyone moves there at a fast pace. You know, I don't want to be that person just running around crazy, spinning my wheels, but I want to have a sense of urgency. And I think as a church, we need that. You know, we can look back at our whole life, a time sadly misspent. What happened to my life? It got away from me. Redeem the time. The days are evil. You know what I mean? It's like you only got so many days under the sun anyway. I it's like, I don't care how long you live. It's just, okay, wherefore, don't be unwise. Be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. What's the will of the Lord? Well, it's here in verse 18. Don't be drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. That's also my only options. Isn't that kind of a weird verse on the face of it? Don't be drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit. Well, how about nothing in between? I don't think he's saying you're one or you're the other. I think he's saying this. You know how it was when you were drunk? You put some liquor, in this case, an agent in your body, and you succumb to that effect of, exactly, you became drunk. Now, like that, like you used to do that. Don't do that anymore. Rather, be filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Fill yourself in such a way that the Spirit is filling you, and the outworking of that will be you'll operate under the control of the Spirit. Don't operate under the control of alcohol. But like you used to do that. No, that's how you want to do now, but now with the Spirit. And by the way, don't be drunk with wine. I'm not going to give you a lecture on intolerance now or go on to a diatribe about, such to say, I don't have this in my life, and I think it's wise if you don't either. Don't be drunk with wine. Or any other thing else don't be drunk with. But rather, like you used to do that, like you had, and if you've never done that, you don't have to do that to find out. You've seen it. That's bad enough. Now, yield control of your members, yield control of your life to the Holy Spirit of God. Be filled. Now, is this the second blessing? Is this that baptism of the Spirit? Well, you can decide for yourself, because I don't know when you say that, I don't know what you mean by that language. But what I mean is this. He's talking to Christians. Now, people will say, well, at salvation, I got the Holy Ghost, I got everything I ever needed, thank you. They'll talk against the second blessing, or the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or everyone will say. I don't think this is the argument. He's saying to Christians, listen, you of Bob Jones University, listen, Dallas Theological Seminary, listen, Moody Bible Institute, listen, Liberty University. He's saying to Christians, keep continually being filled with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, we have a segment of our church, maybe the majority of church in America, the fundamental, I consider myself fundamental, who say, I got it all at salvation. He's talking to a Christian church and he's saying, keep continually being filled. And what I think is being said here is, okay, yes, you have the Holy Spirit. Yes, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit of God. That's even in this book in the first chapter. Yeah, we get it. Now, you Christian having people, keep continually being filled. Is that a one-time thing? Because people say like, oh, I'm a Spirit-filled Christian because they had an experience. But I don't think that's what this is talking about. Because it's not a title, Spirit-filled. It's a condition. Is the Spirit of God filling me at this moment? Boy, I hope so. Nothing good's going to happen if he doesn't. The filling that I got that one time before, I went up to the front, right, and they prayed over me. I got Spirit filled. Tongues was present at that time. Maybe it wasn't. Okay, I don't want to go there right now. And then, so I'm Spirit filled. I don't think that's what we're talking about. He's saying keep continually being Spirit-filled. He's not talking about one-time activity that happened to you 10 years ago. By the way, amen. That's fine. I'm not against that. I'm not against, you know me, I'm not an anti-second blessing person. Having said that, keep continually being filled with the Holy Spirit. So what does that look like? Well, you can come up here afterwards, and I'll hit you in the head, and I hope somebody gets it on video. I mean, we'll have a laugh at, you know, whatever you want and stuff like that. But I don't think that's it. I don't think that's it. I don't impart the Holy Spirit of God. God imparts the Holy Spirit of God. It's not the Spirit of Adam. It's the Spirit of God. You do understand that, right? So he's not like he's got special. I've got special dispensation. I touch you, and you get the Holy Spirit on you, and that's how it goes. If you want to pray, I'll pray with you. But here's the thing. I won't be there tomorrow when you need this filling tomorrow and the next day and the next day and the next day. I won't. And you need filling every day. Why? Because yesterday's filling was yesterday. I mean, listen, you living on Word of God you heard last month? Oh, I had a real good sermon back in February. Yeah, February I think it was. Maybe it was March. I'm not sure. Yeah, a real good sermon. And I've been living on that ever since. Please. That's not even a little bit how it works. Don't you need the Word of God every day in your life? For today's challenges, have you been reading the Bible with us and have you something that you read later on the day clicks and you needed that verse for what you are up against later on the day? Hasn't that happened to you at all? Of course it happens to us. It happens to us all the time. That's the way it works. We need the Word of God every day. We need the Spirit of God every day. We need to be consistently filled with the Spirit of God. You say, do you leak? Yes. In the sense that yesterday's filling was good for yesterday. It's not good for tomorrow. And I pray sometimes, you know, several times a day, Lord, fill me with your Spirit. I need wisdom right now. I need a spirit of wisdom in me. I don't know what I'm going to say, and I really feel like I'm in over my skis. And I ain't got time for no people to come about me and pray and put hands on me and throw oil on me. Listen, I'm right up against it. Lord, fill me right now. And I think that's what's being said here. And what is it? Pray through? No, I think it's a grace receiving. How'd you get saved? Did you pray through? Did you pray and pray and pray and pray and lift up your hands so you couldn't lift them up anymore and you started getting weary? So two guys come and they helped you like her and like, Aaron and they helped and then you got, you know, saved. No, yes, Jesus Christ come into your heart. And he's like totally like, oh, I couldn't wait. I can't. Before you even finished the prayer, he was like totally there because he loved you because it's about grace receiving. It's not about how. And so Spirit-filled, I don't want to mix you up on this. Spirit-filled Christians, all the other Christians. Varsity, junior varsity. Big leagues, the great unwashed. No. We're all brothers and sisters, an equality in God's family. Now, this filling is for life. Because look at what the results are. The rest of the chapter. Worship, giving thanks, submitting. Wives, can you be a godly wife without the filling of the Spirit of God in your life? I'd like to see that demonstrated, but I've never seen it demonstrated, not once in my whole life ever. Can you be a godly husband without being filled by the Holy Spirit of God? No! Just let me say this. No, capital N, capital O, many exclamation points, okay? No. If I'm going to love my wife like Christ loved the church, do you think the Spirit of God is going to be involved in that at some point? You think I'm going to be a godly husband without the Spirit of God in my life, without being filled with the Spirit of God? You think I'm going to be a godly dad? Do you think kids are going to be godly kids? Do you think employees are going to be godly employers? Do you think employees are going to be godly employees without the filling of the Spirit of God? Please. So the Spirit of God is given for a reason so that we'll be the people that God wants us to be. I can't wait to get into these other things and talk about them. I think next week we'll get out to probably verse 21. Because we're going to have a large part will be on this idea of worship. A large portion will be on this idea of giving thanks. A large portion will be on this idea of submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Long before we talk about wives, we got to talk about submitting one to another. But by the way, wives, just to your husbands, not to every man, not to everybody, just to your husbands. And that's just borrowed from verse 21. You know, we're all submitting to everybody else in the Word of God. And then, you know, the idea is your partners, wives, well, to your husbands. But we're all submitting before wives submit to anything. And I think as we look at this, I think we'll get a good balanced idea of this. I'm not a misogynist. I think we all understand that. Listen, you've come a long way, baby. I'm an equal rights kind of guy. I think the word of God is, and I think, don't get scared away by verse 22. It's not going to be dreadful. What have we got tonight? A lot of stuff to chew on. Keep continually being filled. It's easy to teach Spirit-filled people about being Spirit-filled. It really is, because they're all like on everything you're saying, and they're eating it up because the Spirit of God in them is saying, yeah, that's right. Now, if I'm Spirit-filled and you're not Spirit-filled, and I'm trying to teach you how to be Spirit-filled, and it's like herding cats because you're not anyway, it's like nailing jello to a tree. I'm trying hard, but nothing really good, solid's happening. Don't wait for me to, you know what I mean? Get on board here. Pray every day this week. Lord, fill me with your Spirit. I need a special filling of your Spirit. Why? Because I need to be a godly wife. I need to be a godly husband. I need to be a godly son or daughter or employee or wherever the day finds you, wherever the challenge is. God, fill me with your Spirit right now. I really need help for this situation. Why wouldn't we? Pride. In this sense, I can do this without. Now, funny, what's coming up this Sunday in Philippians chapter 2, we're going to hit pride right in the nose and beat it up. And it's got no place in our lives. And if I were to tell you what's on tap, so to speak, Philippians chapter 2 is the idiot's guide to joy through humility. I'm not even qualified to teach. anyway, we'll have a few laughs because I'll be trying to teach one of the most unhumble people you know is going to be trying to teach on humility. It should be a gas anyway. Be there, be square. Okay, let's pray. Father and our God, as we thank you for this wonderful word, even though we're not always there all the time and the things that we're supposed to be, we thank you that you've given us the opportunity with knowledge to know what we're supposed to do and help us, Lord. Like some of these things that we were talking about, redeeming the time, Lord, walking as your children in the light, Lord, having nothing to do with sex sin or covetousness or idolatry. Lord, putting these things behind us once and for good and for all and fighting the good fight, Lord, warring against these things and reproving these things. Lord, I don't want to re-preach my whole sermon, but you've given us a lot to think about. And we want these things to be foremost in our hearts and in our lives, and we want to exhibit them. We want to walk as Christ walked in love. And we want to be leaders, Lord. We want to show everybody how this Christian life is to be lived. Humbly, Lord. Sincerely, but humbly and truly. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.